This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 46, text number 1. Chapter is entitled Uddhava Visits Vrindavan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Do you really need to turn the lights off? That's why we got this new thing. You need to turn the lights off. I mean, everyone can see the high contrast. So chapter 46, I'll read the chapter summary, Uddhava Visits Vrindavan. This chapter describes how Sri Krishna sent Uddhava to Vraja to relieve the distress of Nanda, Yashoda, and the young gopis. One day, Lord Krishna asked his intimate friend Uddhava to take news of him to Vraja and thus relieve his parents and the gopis of their misery caused by their separation from him. Riding on a chariot, Uddhava reached Vraja at sunset. He saw the cows returning home to the cowherd village and the calves jumping here and there as their mothers followed slowly behind, weighed down by their heavy milk bags. The cowherd men and women were chanting the glories of Krishna and Balaram, and the village was attractively decorated with burning incense and rows of lamps. All this presented a scene of exceptional transcendental beauty. Nanda Maharaj welcomed Uddhava warmly into his home. The cowherd king then worshipped him as non-different from Lord Vasudev, fed him nicely, seated him comfortably upon a bed, and then inquired from him about the welfare of Vasudev and his sons, Krishna and Balaram. Nanda asked, Why does Krishna still remember his friends, the village of Gokula and Govardhan Hill? He protected us from a forest fire, wind and rain, and many other disasters. By remembering his pastimes again and again, we are relieved of all karmic entanglement. And when we see the places marked by his lotus feet, our minds become fully absorbed in thought of him. Gargamuni told me that Krishna and Balaram have both descended directly from the spiritual world. Just see how they have so easily dispatched Kamsa, the wrestlers, the elephant Kuvalayapida, and many other demons. As Nanda remembered Krishna's pastimes, his throat choked up with tears and he could speak no further. Meanwhile, as Mother Yasoda heard her husband speak of Krishna, the intense love she felt for her son caused a flood of milk to pour from her breasts and a torrent of tears from her eyes. Seeing the super excellent affection Nanda and Yashoda had for Sri Krishna, Uddhava commented, "You two are indeed most glorious. One who has attained pure love for the Supreme Absolute Truth in his human-like form has nothing further to accomplish. Krishna and Balaram are present in their hearts, are present in the hearts of all living beings, just as fire lies dormant within wood. These two lords see all equally, having no particular friends or enemies. Free from egotism and possessiveness, they have no father, mother, wife, or children, and are never subject to birth, and have no material body, only to enjoy spiritual happiness and deliver their saintly devotees till they appear by their own sweet will among various species of life, both high and low. Lord Krishna is not merely the son of you, O Nanda and Yashoda, but the son of all persons, as well as their mother and father. In fact, he is everyone's dearest relation, inasmuch as nothing that is seen or heard in the past, present, or future, among the moving or non-moving, is independent of him. Nanda Maharaj and Uddhava passed the night talking about Krishna in this way. Then the cowherd women performed their morning worship and began churning butter, singing the glories of Sri Krishna as they busily pulled the churning ropes. The sound of churning and singing reverberated into the sky, cleansing the world of all inauspiciousness. When the sun rose, the gopis saw Uddhava's chariot at the edge of the cowherd village, and they thought that Akura might have returned. But just then, Uddhava finished his morning duties and presented himself before them. So text number one. Word meaning Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sukadeva Goswami said, Vishni Nam, of the Vishnis, Pravara, the best, Mantri, advisor, Krishnasya, of Krishna, Daita, beloved, Sakha, friend, Shishya, disciple, Brihaspate, of Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, Shakshad, directly, Uddhava, Buddhi, having intelligence, Sattama, of the highest quality. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Krishninam Parvato Mantri, Krishnasya Daita Sakha, Shishyo Brihaspate Shakshad, Uddhava Bhurit Sattama. Please chant. Ladies. Do you have the microphone, Keshava Prabhu? Because maybe we can share duties and read the purport. I mean, I've already read a lot. And so I'm going to be speaking, so maybe you can read a paragraph at a time from on top of there. Translation, Sukadev Goswami said, the supremely intelligent Uddhava was the best counselor of the Vrishni dynasty, a beloved friend of Lord Sri Krishna, and a direct disciple of Brihaspati. Somebody just read it, it's okay. Anybody, he has the microphone.
Purport. The Acharyas give various reasons why Lord Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. The Lord had promised the residents of Vrindavan, Ayasye, I shall return, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39-35. Also, in the previous chapter, Lord Krishna promised Nanda Maharaj, Drastum is Yamaha. We will come back to see you and Mother Yashoda, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45-23. At that time, the Lord could not break his promise to Sri Vasudev and Mother Devaki to finally spend some time. At the same time, the Lord could not break his promise to Sri Vasudev and Mother Devaki to finally spend some time with them after he had suffered for so many years. Therefore, the Lord decided to send his intimate representative to Vrindavan in his place.
The question may be asked, why did Krishna not invite Nanda and Yashoda to visit him in Mathura? According to Srila Jiva Goswami, for the Lord to have exchanged love and feelings with Nanda and Yashoda in the same place and at the same time that he was exchanging them with Vasudeva and Devaki would have created an awkward situation in the Lord's pastimes. Thus, Krishna did not invite Nanda and Yashoda to stay with him in Mathura.
Sri Uddhava is described in this verse.
The residents of Vrindavan.
The residents of Vrindavan had their own way of understanding Krishna, and their feelings could not have been appropriately expressed on a regular basis in the kingly atmosphere of Mathura. Sri Uddhava is described in this verse as Buddhi Sattamaha, the most intelligent, and thus he could expertly pacify the residents of Vrindavan who were feeling such intense separation from Lord Krishna. Then upon his return to Mathura, Uddhava would describe to all the members of the Vrishni dynasty the extraordinary pure love he had seen in Vrindavan. Indeed, the love the cowherd men and gopis felt for Krishna was far beyond anything the Lord's other devotees had ever experienced. And by hearing about that love, all the Lord's devotees would increase their faith and devotion.
As stated in the third canto by the Lord himself, Nodavo Vapi Man Nyuna, Uddhava is not even slightly different from me. Resembling Krishna so much, Uddhava was the perfect person to carry out the Lord's mission in Vrindavan. In fact, Sri Harivamsa states that Uddhava is the son of Vasudeva's brother, Devabhaga. Uddhava Devabhaga Sha Mahabhaga Suto Bhava. In other words, he is the cousin brother of Sri Krishna's.
Thank you very much. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurandaritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So this morning I wanted to talk about love. Of course, love is a very complex business. It involves all kinds of things, intrigue, innuendo, confidentiality, it's bewildering. And these things are just material love, what to speak of, the love of the spiritual world. At the beginning of the Nectar of Ocean, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Srila Rupa Goswami describes Krishna as Akila Rasa Murti. Akila Rasa Murti. I think that's the complete phrase. Rasamrita Murti. Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the ideal person that is involved in loving exchanges with varieties of devotees, unlimited varieties of devotees. So love is a very complex subject, and Krishna's love, to understand Krishna's love, that is even more complex. Indeed, it's hidden from those who don't have the proper qualifications for understanding that love. So when we approach any of the activities of Lord Sri Krishna, particularly these two chapters, these next two chapters, 46, Uddhava visits Vrindavan, 47, the song of the bee, intimate, loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees are described. And so we are fortunate to be able to day by day study these conversations, try to understand. But we have to approach them in the right frame of mind, through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, how is it possible that these subject matters, which are the pinnacle of loving affairs, so complex to understand, how is it possible that we can even approach these subject matters, trying to understand why Krishna does something and through whom he does it? In this first of the two chapters, chapter 46, as we read in the chapter description, Krishna has a very, very special role for Uddhava. And so he becomes very prominent in these two chapters of the 10th canto. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that in the linear story of Krishna's life, this is the first entrance of Uddhava. Although in the Bhagavatam, obviously, there's description of Uddhava in earlier cantos. But if we take a look at Krishna's life chronologically, this is the first appearance of Uddhava. And we might be surprised at this being the first appearance of Uddhava, how intimate he is with Krishna and the intimate assignment that he's given by Krishna. How is it that Uddhava is chosen for this very special mission of going to deliver his message to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and the residents of Vrindavan, and particularly the gopis? How is Uddhava? Why Uddhava? Nothing in the Lord's activities, loving relations with his devotees, is ordinary. It carries very deep meaning. And so, as this is the first verse in these two chapters, I thought that we'd try to understand a little bit about Uddhava and his relationship with Krishna. So, as described here in the purport, Uddhava is the cousin brother of Krishna. And Prabhupada, the devotees translating and commenting here in the 10th canto, Prabhupada's disciples, they take note of the fact that Krishna resembled Krishna, Uddhava resembled Krishna so much. I was listening to a seminar given by our godbrother Gopi Pranadana Prabhu on the Priti Sandarbha, the last of Jiva Goswami's Sad Darbha the Sat Sandarbhas. And that Preeti Sarva talks about different types of liberation. And we know there's one type of liberation that one gets a form resembling the Lord. And so the fact that Uddhava so much physically resembles Krishna is an indication of his closeness to Krishna. Gopi Pranadanapu was describing. It's not by accident or it just happens to be like that. But it's indicative of how close he is to Krishna. Indeed, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse which describes Krishna's relationship with Uddhava. Natatha me priyatama atma yonir na shankara na cha sankarshano na shrir naivatma cha yata bhavan. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Shankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self are as dear to me as you are. And in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described there that Krishna says about Uddhava that he's as good as my very self. And so obviously a very dear, close relationship between the two of them. Krishna is actually, his relationship with Uddhava, to my limited understanding, can be described like a confidant. And if we look at some of the things that Uddhava does with Krishna, it sort of reveals that. You'll recall that we read not too long ago about when Krishna was entering Mathura, when he straightened the hunchback Kubja and made her into a very beautiful woman. At that point, she was overcome with lusty desires to enjoy with Krishna. And right there in the public street, she started pulling on his cloth. And it's described there that when this happened, Krishna was speaking to the lady, Kubja, Trivarka. Trivakra. Bent in three places. She wasn't bent. She was very beautiful, all straight. When she started pulling his cloth, it's described there that Krishna was looking at the face of Lord Balaram and looking at the faces of the cowherd boys. Prabhupada says in the Krishna book that he was embarrassed. Krishna was a little embarrassed because he was in front of his older brother and this was happening. He felt some embarrassment like that. Krishna told the Kubja at that point, "Well, I'll come to your house later. Don't worry, I'll satisfy your desires." So later, when he went to her house, he went there with Uddhava. Uddhava went with him. And it's described that when they went in the house, both Krishna and Uddhava were offered, you know, respectful seats and everything, but Uddhava, he didn't want to accept. He just touched the seat and he sat on the floor. But Krishna, he laid down very comfortably on the bed in a very relaxed mood. So he was with Uddhava in this situation and he felt completely at ease, comfortable to be himself and lied comfortably on the bed. Whereas in a similar kind of situation with Lord Balaram, he was a little embarrassed and hesitant and shy. Just try to understand how intimate Uddhava was with him, that he could be with him in that kind of a situation. And Krishna still felt to be himself enough where he didn't have to feel embarrassed like he did in the presence of Lord Balaram. in this kind of situation. I mean, such was the confidential nature of their relationship. When Krishna entered Mathura, he also made another promise to Akura that he would come to his house also. And so when Krishna went to Akura's house, Uddhava also went with him there. And what took place there was it's described that Krishna wanted to get some things done, so he went to visit Akura. And so he had some business to transact. He wanted Akura to do something. He needed to get some things done. It was more like a business kind of thing when we compare it to his visit to Kubja's house. But Uddhava was there also. So whether business or pleasure, Uddhava was so confidential in his relationship with Krishna that he could go with him wherever he went. And this is characteristic of their relationship. Indeed, Uddhava, who's described in this verse here today as a direct disciple of Brihaspati, supremely intelligent, he was the best advisor of the Vrishni dynasty. He took the role of being Krishna's counselor. And he didn't do it in a proud way. Indeed, we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam when Krishna asked Uddhava for advice about the situation with Jarasandha, Uddhava responded, "Well, you know, you're the Supreme Lord, you know, why you're asking me? You don't have to ask me. You don't need anyone's counsel. But because you're asking, therefore I will give it to you. I'll give you my advice." And so Krishna, in loving relationships with his devotees, places himself in a subordinate position to his devotees and enjoys that exchange, and indeed benefits from that exchange. He appreciated Uddhava's advice about the situation with Jarasandha, what to do. This is the nature of love. As I said, it's a very complex business, and it's difficult to understand. Why would Krishna, the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead, need to ask anybody for counsel? Well, one sense, the answer is he doesn't have to ask anybody for counsel. But the other sense, he wants to ask somebody for counsel because it's an opportunity for a loving exchange with them. And so he had that kind of relationship with Uddhava. Uddhava gave him advice. I think that this would be the best course of action. And Krishna took that advice. So that's a little bit of background on Uddhava. Now, of course, you might say, well, some of that took place after what I'm going to say next, but there's no past, present, and future when we think about Krishna's relationship with us. So even if what I'm going to describe next happened before what I just described, it's okay. Let's not think in mundane ways about Krishna. There's no past, present, and future in terms of his relationships with us. But I gave those preliminary things to set an understanding of Krishna's relationship with Uddhava, to describe how and why he chose him for the most intimate type of service to him. And that is as his messenger to the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna has just arrived in Mathura and just been out of Vrindavan for a short period of time. But he knew that the residents of Vrindavan were feeling very acute pangs of separation from him, feeling love from him. And so he wanted to do something about that. But he couldn't go. Why couldn't he go? Did someone have him locked up and tied up someplace where he couldn't go? Why couldn't he go? He couldn't go because he wanted to exchange the loving relationships with Vasudeva and Devaki, and that bound him to stay in Mathura with them. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything he wants. But why didn't he leave to go back to Vrindavan? Well, he describes, well, he says he wanted to spend some time with his mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki. Finally, after so many years when they were suffering on his account. So he couldn't go, and so if you can't go, what's the next best thing? Send a message, right? If you can't go, then you send a message. That's the next best thing. Again, these loving affairs are quite complex, and you know, but apparently that's the next best thing. If you can't go, then send a message. So he sent a message, and he chose Uddhava to deliver that message. Now just think about Krishna's situation. He spent so many years in Vrindavan, exchanging such deep loving exchanges with all the residents. Now he's left them. He has their love in his hands. And how is he going to manage that love that he has in their hands? If you are going to deal with a very sensitive situation, especially a sensitive, loving situation, wouldn't you be very selective about how you handle it, who you send, what they say, what they do, who they are? All of that is personified in Uddhava. Krishna had complete faith in Uddhava. Rupa Goswami Pad describes different types of messengers. There's one type of messenger that you just write it down and you say, deliver this. Don't open it. Don't look at it. Don't say anything. Just give the message, because I don't trust you to mess it up, you know. But there are other types of messengers that require a little bit more subtle dealing that, okay, you know, you can deliver this message, but deliver it carefully. Yes, you can speak, or you can answer some questions, you can clarify, because I have faith in you to carry the message as it is. So Uddhava obviously was in the second category, a confidential messenger that could deliver the message and be sensitive to the loving exchange that Krishna still enjoyed with his devotees in Vrindavan, with his mother and father, with the residents of Vrindavan. His Holiness Gorgovinda Swami Maharaj has given a very nice book called Vrindura Meets Vrindavan, where he describes specifically Krishna sending Uddhava to meet the residents of Vrindavan. And just as we read in the purport, you know, in the chapter summary here today, how Uddhava was saying all the things about Nanda Maharaj, about Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how he has no father and mother, and all these things on tattva, or the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gorgovinda Maharaj very nicely describes there how Nanda Maharaj was responding that, Uddhava, you're just a boy. You're just a boy. Krishna is our son. And he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're just a boy, Uddhava. You can't understand these things. And so he explains like that, that's what Uddhava had to deal with. He had to understand these loving relationships, how they loved Krishna, not that they thought of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as their loving relative, as their loving friend, as their lover. And so, with all that in mind, Krishna chose Uddhava as a person to deliver his message to the Vrajabasis. Very confidential assignment. And indeed, Uddhava maintained this relationship with Krishna throughout the Lord's appearance here. Even at the end of Krishna's pastimes in this world, at the time when he was leaving this world, he also chose Uddhava for a very confidential assignment. Uddhava was part of Rishni dynasty, and so you know, as is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, just prior to the Lord departing this world, he was dispatching his relatives, his families, back to the spiritual world, back to their post as demigods. He was rolling up his pastimes and he was sending everyone back. But there's one person he didn't send back. Who didn't he send back? Uddhava. He didn't send Uddhava back. Instead, he sent Uddhava to Bhadarika Ashram. Now, why did he send Uddhava to Bhadarika Ashram? We already know that obviously Uddhava is very confidential. He can carry confidential messages of the Lord. But why Bhadarika Ashram? We know that Uddhava's perfection that he attained in Vrindavan was seeing the love of the gopis, the residents of Vrindavan, for Krishna, which is another reason why Krishna sent him there. So he had developed an attraction for Vrindavan. So why did Krishna, at the end of his pastime, send him to Bhadarika Ashram? Well, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport in the third canto that Krishna had another confidential message to deliver, and he chose Uddhava to deliver that. It's described here in the third canto, fourth chapter, text number 32 in the purport. Prabhupada's describing that Krishna had a message to give to Nara Narayan, who were living in Bhadarika Ashram. He had a confidential message to give to them, and therefore he chose Uddhava to give that message. And so he said, Uddhava, I'm not sending you back to your post in the material and spiritual world, but rather I want you to stay here and take this message to Naranarayan Rishi, living there in Bhadarika Ashram. And you're competent, because you're not different than me, you're competent to give instruction, to give association to all the devotees there. Because if we review Krishna's pastimes, we see that although he went many places, he never went to Bhadarika Ashram. And so Krishna was explaining to Uddhava that I wasn't able to get there during my time on the earth, and it's time for me to go now, so you go in my place. You go in my place and you give association to those devotees there, and you deliver this confidential message to Naranarayan Rishi. That's a special service I have for you. So again, confidential messages delivered by Uddhava. So he was a very confidential servant of the Lord, and the Lord exchanged services, exchanged loving affairs with him in this mood of his confidant, his messenger, among other things. I don't pretend to have characterized Uddhava completely in these few minutes, but at least that may be some introduction to Uddhava as we go through these next two chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So are there any comments or questions? Yes, Janmashtami Prabhu.
This Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami were very learned scholars, and their mission was to help elevate their readers, you know, to the platform of love of God. But it seems, you know, almost contradictory in that they got into so much technical details. You know, it seems like, you know, the conception that I think most of us would have is that love is something that just kind of happens. You know, that it awakens within the heart, maybe Madan Mohan was quoting Yasha Deve Pra Bhakti Yata Deve Tata Guru to me this morning. And so why all of these, you know, heavy, why all this heavy scholarship? You know, I mean, it's like Prabhupada described Jiva Goswami as the greatest philosopher in the history of the world. So I wonder if you have some insight into that.
Well, I don't know if I have any insight, but I think I can say that it's not that everyone... Well, two things. One thing is love of God, love for Krishna, pure love for Krishna is not a cheap thing. It's not a cheap thing. Neither is it that easily attained. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes it easy in this age through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. But there are those Vedic scholars, followers of the Vedas, followers of yoga, jnana, all these different Vedic paths that have other ideas about the conclusion of the Vedas, that don't accept that prema pumarto mahan, that the purushartha, the fifth goal of life is prema. Gopi Pranadana Prabhu has a whole series on this also, and that's where I was hearing about his discussion of the Priti Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami. Others don't accept that love for Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. And so to convince them, they require a thorough Shastric education, a thorough understanding given by Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, all the Goswamis in their literatures. So it's necessary for them in that regard. But knowledge itself is also, it's not just book knowledge, it's what props us up, it's what keeps us going, it's what builds our faith is knowledge. Knowledge has a purpose. It's like taking, it's like a shakti, it's a power. It stays us, it fixes us in devotional service. So even though we would want knowledge of, we would want love of Krishna, we claim love of Krishna, and we faint love of Krishna, unless we have knowledge, it's not going to endure. And so these kind of discussions are there for that reason. And therefore, when devotees read these literatures, they don't read them as technical things or this. And like, just take Prabhupada's presentation of Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What is it? It's just one like pastime after another, describing different traits of Krishna. So what's the relishable thing in there? The logic or this or that, or the pastimes of Krishna, which illustrate these different feelings that the devotees have. So devotees can relish reading, you know, Nectar of Devotion over and over again, because it's just telling different qualities of Krishna and how they're illustrated by his actions. And so, like that, I think. Divyanga Pru.
Thank you, Seisha. Nice class. I must have been spacing out. When he took the message to Narayan Rishi, the message was about Brajalila, or what was the message? Did you say what the message was?
Well, actually, I didn't say. In Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, he actually has, you know, he describes the letter. You know, so if you have that, you know, his commentary, you can go there to the commentary in the third canto, and it describes, you know, what the message was to him. Let me see if I remember some elements of it. He says that, I probably wouldn't do it justice, but go to the commentary and it's there. Dharma?
Prabhu, can I seek your permission to make a comment?
Yes.
You were talking about Uddhava's position and why Krishna chose him to go to Vrindavan. I just want to say that one reason why he was chosen, as we all know and described here, that Uddhava was a disciple of Brihaspati, who was the guru of the demigods. So he has imparted so much knowledge unto him. He is described as bodhisattva, very intelligent. But as the saying goes, that one cannot give what one doesn't have. So Brihaspati gave him so much information of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepting one that he didn't know much about the highest love of Godhead. So Krishna chose him to go to Vrindavan to complete his education. This is the way is described in Sharartha Darshini by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So he went there to learn the highest love of God from the Vrijabasis. So I just want to share that.
Yes.
And I also have a question. In the summary, this chapter summary, somewhere to the latter part, it says that Krishna came to deliver his sincere devotees. I think that's the word used. Towards maybe like three or four paragraphs from the bottom, Krishna came to deliver his sincere devotees. I was just wondering, a sincere devotee is like automatically in that category of being qualified to be delivered. So is there some reason why that statement has to be like that? My understanding is that there is something more that meets the eye by making that statement. I'm wondering if you can share some knowledge on that.
Well, I don't know that I can share knowledge on that, nor can I find it, but I can comment on what you said in terms of your question and take it sort of as a comment too, is that particularly works like the Srimad Bhagavatam or any works of poetry, Sanskrit poetry, something's not poetry, at least according to the Sanskrit school, unless it has the effect of, the English word is echo, there's a Sanskrit word, that you read the words and there's an echo, in other words, there's a meaning that's beyond the words that are written. And when that happens, when you read something, that's poetry. And so the fact that there's more to the fact that he came to save his sincere devotees, as you're pointing out, is an indication of the depth of Krishna's love and his exchange with his devotees, the reality of something beyond just the words that are there. And so you're asking me for a comment on what that is, but we'll just set that aside for now and accept your statement that yes, there is something, and it's that echo that results from the Sanskrit poetry of the Bhagavatam, the nature of the Bhagavatam. Yes.
Also, just on that point, it's normally the dealings of Bhagavan that when he comes primarily for his devotees. Like even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, there's this verse, Premaiva Goparamanam Kamam Iti Agamat Pratam Udava Adayo Apietan Vajanti Bhagavad Priya. That when Mahaprabhu came, he bought the goods to deliver the whole world. But primarily he came for all the devotees from all the other previous incarnations. And the way that the Lord gives that benediction to the jivas is through his devotees. Mm. So in the same way, when Krishna comes and displays his pastimes, he primarily comes for his devotees who have loving sentiment. Those devotees then in turn distribute to everyone else.
Mm. Yes. Thank you. Anything else anyone has? Okay, we'll end there. Grantarachi Madhbhagavatam Kitas.